for us, it has been a really great year of baptism. You might remember that in March we held a baptism service inside, first time in our church history to find a tub and bring it inside. And when I looked at the weather forecast, I thought I might need to get that tub out again and have it on standby. But I'm really glad that we've been able to do outside again today to enjoy God's beauty, to enjoy all that He's created, both in this world and in our hearts. So it's a good day. It's a good day to gather at the river, as the song has said. But you may be asking, why? Why do we gather outside? Why do we baptize? Why is this such an important part of the process in the Christian walk? What's the point of walking into water with what seemed to be normal clothes on and getting dunked by a couple of people? You know, it just seems kind of strange. And can I just be honest and answer that question with I don't know. You know, I don't know necessarily why Jesus commanded us to do this, but I know that He did. When we look in God's Word, we know that He was speaking timeless truth to us in His final moments, and Jesus commanded us to go into the world to share the good news, to share about His life, to share about His death, to share about all that He's done for us, and in doing so, to baptize those who believe in Him in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so we take those words and we have to believe that He knew what He was doing. And having been a person who's been baptized, and many of you who have been as well, you know that there can be a supernatural thing that takes place here. So I can't explain baptism any more than I can explain why certain songs make me cry. You know, as a 6'4", 175-pound man. Why songs can... Okay, that's half of me. But beside the point, you know, to know that certain things bring me to my knees, to know that certain songs bring a certain emotion in me, baptism is like that spiritually. It's one of these moments, it's a decision in a life, that when you go out and you do this, that it is special, and it's spiritually powerful. And so it's an important day, so that's why we schedule it, that's why we have conversations with those who want to be baptized, because we believe in its power and we believe in Christ's authority. And so I really don't know why, but I do know its power, and that's what we want to celebrate today. I want to read... glad it's not windy today. I'm just going to throw these down. I want to read some scripture today when we think about this process. I was spending time at a cabin this week near water and just reading the scripture, and was really enamored with Colossians chapter 2 as I began to think about what we were going to be doing here today and thinking about how this is so not normal. In some ways, it just doesn't seem right. But knowing that that's God's kingdom too. God's kingdom doesn't always act or feel normal, and it doesn't always feel just right. But it is the best thing we could ever do. And Colossians 2 talks about that. Paul shares these words. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Just two powerful verses there. I want to stop and just remind us of what these words say. Three words I want to pull out of these scriptures. Rooted, strengthened, and overflowing. What does it mean to be rooted in Him? Well, think about a flower. Think about these trees. Think about any plant that you know, these beautiful flowers over here. The thing that makes those flowers possible to bloom and to grow is not necessarily just the leaves or the beautiful foliage on top, but it's the roots that we cannot see. And it's just like that with our lives. The most important part of who we are is the thing that no one else can really see. What we're rooted in and how we allow ourselves to gain our nutrients of life determines our outer beauty. It determines on how we will live life when challenges come and when great times come. So Paul's words of being rooted in Him are important for us. And the question I have for you is, what are you rooted in? Where do you gain your strength? Where do you gain your nutrients? Paul says that we are to be rooted in Christ. And then the second word he uses, that we'll be strengthened by Him. So when we talk about being rooted in Him, if we're rooted well, then we'll have great strength by the grace of God and by the Spirit of God. We all wish we could be stronger, right? We all wish we could be thinner. We all wish we could be in better shape. That doesn't happen on accident. We just don't look in the mirror one day and say, my goodness, look at those abs. Where did those come from? It's quite the opposite. We go, where did that gut come from, right? I mean, how did that happen? To be strong physically takes a lot of hard work and a lot of discipline. And so it is with our lives spiritually. If we're to be rooted and we're also to be strengthened, it is going to take some discipline and it's going to take some work for us to live a way that he wants us to live and to feel the strength that Christ is offering us. But then finally, Paul uses this word that I love. Paul says that we are to overflow in him. I had this imagery years ago when I was riding my bike. And if anyone knows me, you know that I like McDonald's sweet tea. And I went to McDonald's, rode my bike there, and then put the sweet tea in my little beverage container on my bike. But I filled it up way too full, and that sweet tea just kept spilling out onto my legs and onto the bike path. And I was just thinking of this great analogy of that's supposed to be our life. That we are to be so filled with God's presence that we should spill out or overflow on everyone around us. When life happens, oftentimes we will spill out. The question is, does our joy and our love spill out? Or does our junk, does the crap of life spill out? Paul commands us that we should be overflowing with thankfulness, overflowing with his Spirit. So I hope that as we consider these things today and consider his words, that we'll allow ourselves to be rooted in the good things of God, to be rooted in him, to be strengthened by him, and to overflow with him. I think that's really the essence of baptism today. But Paul goes on with these words in Colossians 2. You are buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. You were dead in your sins, but God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. And he has taken it all away, nailing it to the cross. The Message paraphrase says those same verses this way. Going under the water was the burial of your old life. Coming up out of it was the resurrection of your life. God raising you from the dead as he did Christ. When you are stuck in your old sin-dead life, you are incapable of responding to God. But God brought you alive, right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven. The slate wiped clean. That old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. That old arrest warrant, that old written code, was the law that God had given his people. But it was a law that was so difficult and actually impossible to follow to a T. And so that's why we need God's mercy. That's why we need God's forgiven grace. That's why we need Jesus to pay that price once and for all, something that we could not do on our own. So we are not capable of saving ourselves, but we are capable of embracing the love and grace of the one who went to this cross. We are, what we can do is bow down in reverence to the one who called us to this special time, the one who no longer stands condemning us, but the one who is loving us and offering us new life through him. The cross is the method that God chose to heal our hearts, to clean our soul, and to give us a new life. To all who's called out in faith to Jesus, save me, help me, heal me, you have received this gift of mercy and forgiveness. So today, as we celebrate the death of our human lives, and our sinful lives, we celebrate the resurrection. We celebrate the new life that Christ offers us and the love-filled lives that we can live with by the power of this cross. We've brought the cross here today to stand in front of the water as a reminder that nothing we can do here in this sacred and holy place in this moment is possible without what took place on this cross 2,000 years ago. Nothing we can do or say is possible in our own human strength, our own human eloquence, without the sacrifice that Christ made on this cross. His love allowed him to come to life at a time when the most gruesome form of corporate punishment was around. He died the most gruesome death. He suffered the most painful end of life. And he had you and me on his mind. He had our sin on his shoulders. And he willingly went as a sacrifice for you and me so that we could come to the water. This wondrous cross makes everything possible. So as we celebrate new life in him today, we bow in reverence to this cross and all that it means to us and for us. Would you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for providing for us a beautiful day. We need to tell you today, though, that we are completely indebted to you in all that you have done for us. We're indebted to you for this cross that once was a symbol of humiliation and great pain, and now has become a symbol of great love, the greatest love our world has ever known. Today, Lord, we celebrate your power over sin. We celebrate your plan for redemption. We celebrate the new life you offer those of us who want to be rooted and strengthened and overflowing in your grace, which is only made possible by the cross. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.